This is breaking news on Chicago's home for sports, ESPN 1000.
Wow, look at that. Right out of the gate, breaking news with Xander and Hanley. According to a report from MLB insider Bob Nightingale, Chicago White Sox manager Tony La Russa will retire on Monday. That's tomorrow. Now, Tony has one more year left on his contract. Nightingale reports there are plans for a press conference in Chicago to announce his retirement. Brian, big news, not a total surprise. We said that he would have to walk away. We talked about this yesterday on White Sox Weekly. And if this is true, tomorrow is the day. And I think it's kind of curious with three games left in the season why they would do that tomorrow. But it looks like that is the case.
You know, we did talk about this on White Sox Weekly. Daryl Anshaw and Sun-Times had a report that they were going to offer Tony to come back next year if he felt like he was up to it. But in the same report, Daryl wrote that, according to his source, Jerry Reinsdorf, who was the man who reached out to Tony La Russa and had him come back to manage the White Sox to rectify a wrong from decades ago when a Hawk fired him in his 1 year as GM. And, you know, that's something that's gnawed at Jerry apparently for decades. But Daryl wrote that Jerry was going to counsel Tony La Russa not to come back and to think of his health and put his health first and foremost in his mind and to, you know, heed his advice and just it'll be interesting to see at the one, if he's actually at the press conference. You know, I don't know how much he's traveling. And two, does he get a title as a special assistant to the chairman or, you know, front office title to consult? But Bob Nightingale's been dialed in. He has been dialed into Jerry Reinsdorf for a very long time. And he was the man who broke the news initially that Tony La Russa was taking a medical leave. So you have to put a lot of stock in this report because Bob Nightingale, when it comes to White Sox information, usually has it and usually has it correct and first.
Yeah, according to what I'm reading here, and there's not a lot of details other than what we've already said. So there's really no indication that there may be some kind of future in the front office for Tony, but it sounds like to me retirement like done, over, that's it. And if he does have health issues, the man doesn't have to work, I would assume, right? You know, he's had a long Hall of Fame career. You know, I know if you do this for a living, you don't want to stop. But if he has a challenging medical situation, which seems obvious, I think the only call would be total retirement. And that's the vibe I'm getting.
Well, I think he'll get a title because they're going to try to give him a graceful exit. He has one more year on his contract. It's not the type of job I would suggest that he's going to have to be out at the rate every day or in the office every day. I mean, it's the type of job where in the off-season meetings, the winter meetings, he can be on the phone. He can be on Zoom. Jerry can pick up the phone and run, you know, big ideas by him and just get his input. Whether they act on that input or not.
Sure, more like a consultant that Absolutely. Isn't involved day to day. Okay, yeah, that makes a little more sense. I'm just thinking.
He's not going to be a cubicle at the office. You know, he's
right,
not going to be,
right.
Hey, we're going out to get sandwiches, Tony. What are you having today? No.
I suppose.
But Sox fans would love to hear from you, 312-332-3776. We went over a list yesterday of possible replacements for Tony La Russa if, in fact, he was not coming back. And now it reportedly is a fact that he's not coming back. Love to hear. We'll go over that list again. And you know, do you want someone with White Sox ties? Are you in love with Ozzie and it has to be Ozzie? You know, Sun-Times had a poll yesterday and 40% of the 1,200 or so people responding said, give us Ozzie, and he was in first by a long shot, by country mile. Do you want total outside of the organization? Does it have to be a guy with experience? Can it be A.J. Pierzynski without experience? Love to hear your thoughts. But look, Tony was part of the problem. Obviously, he wasn't the only problem. We have roster problems. You have, offensive approach problems, you know,
which obviously you can't. Well, hopefully this year everybody's going to be well conditioned over the winter. We're not looking at any kind of work stoppage. So for the first time in a few years, with the pandemic considered and the strike, we are going to have a normal start to next season, fingers and toes crossed. And there are some new names that I'm seeing that have been thrown in. And, you know, it's easy to throw out names of potential coaches, head coaches, and we'll throw those in as well as the ones that we talked about yesterday. But, hey, you know, AJ Pierzynski thing, you know, just real quick, it's been very polarized. If you've been watching Twitter, you either have people say yes or people like, no, not again. Don't do what you did with Robin Ventura. And I can tell you, I love Robin as a player, but that did not work out. And that was another name that had history with the team, that smart baseball guy. You figured it would translate into being able to run the team as the manager, and it didn't translate.
Yeah, and you know, the one thing about Robin and AJ are polar opposite personalities, right? And we criticize, you and I criticize Tony for not being fiery Tony nearly enough, if at all, this year, right? The question coming in was, would the guy in his late 70s, turning 78, I think, next week, be able to relate to the young players and the young stars like Tim Anderson? And you and I have talked about it, and I think you were spot on. He almost bent over backwards to go the opposite direction, put the arm around the guy instead of the you know, kick in the ass. He'd put the arm around the guy and never bring a guy into the office. He'd say he would, you know, go out on the outfield and have a more, you know, a neutral conversation rather than bringing in a guy in the office and shutting the door and lighting a fire under him. AJ Pierzynski's not that. He's not Robin. I mean, and normally when you correct on something like that, you go the opposite way. You go get the fiery guy if you had the laid back guy, right? And Tony was the laid back guy in this iteration anyway. Mm-hmm. But I want a guy with experience. I don't know how Sox fans feel. You know, the White Sox usually look within the organization or, you know, ties to the organization. I'll go a step further, Mark. Who's going to be making this call? I mean, it's not going to be Jerry Reinsdorf. That was unique to Tony La Russa. But there are a lot of Sox fans out there that would want to say, well, wait a minute. How come Rick Hahn and Kenny Williams are still sticking around to make that call, given this year and the fact that if they finish under 500 and they lost last night, that will be the eighth time in the last 10 years they finished under 500. If you were taking tests at any college level, high school level, and you failed 8 out of 10 times, you'd be held back a year. I mean, it wouldn't
be. Yes, you would.
I mean, that's failing.
On a questionnaire for a job, you wouldn't get hired. You're absolutely right.
Yeah.
And I would suggest that Kenny Williams, as he has been able to survive for all these years, will continue to survive. Does he look down to Rick and say, okay, you've got to take the fall for this? Wow. Not knowing from the fan perspective who actually is making the call on some of these personnel changes, aside from Tony La Russa. So it will be interesting. We know that Jerry has been loyal. So at the least, Kenny Williams will still be here. Will Rick Hahn be here? Who will make that coaching decision? If they give Rick Hahn another chance, which we have every reason to believe they will, just based on the fact that they've been loyal for all these years, it would be good now to look at Rick and say, okay, now the manager choice is yours, because he didn't get that this time.
Not this time, but he's had it in other times, and they, you know, that didn't work out. You know, look, you know, would Renteria have stuck around if Jerry didn't have the idea that Tony La Russa was the answer to problem that wasn't perceived at the time, but for Jerry Reinsdorf?
Maybe, you know, and Renteria was really good with younger players.
Yeah.
When
you look at the Chicago Bulls, Jerry Reinsdorf's other professional sports team, you know, the Garpax thing finally had to go away. Now, I think John Paxson is still considered a consultant, you know, Gar Forman not around anymore, but that became a punchline. But was that because Michael Reinsdorf was now the man in charge of the Bulls, and Jerry still obviously is the lead man there, but at day to day, it's his son, Michael. Does that, you know, if Michael was running the White Sox, would he look at this like Rocky Wirtz looked at the Chicago Blackhawks, and once his dad passed away, and said, we got to make change and drastic changes? You know, is it time, not just for a managerial change that Bob Nightingale reported is going to happen, but is it time for Rick Hahn, Kenny? Do you need a fresh set of eyes at every level is what I'm saying, basically.
Yeah, I don't disagree with you, but we have no reason to believe, based on past actions and performance, that that's going to happen. But again, as you mentioned, it eventually did happen with the Bulls. Maybe this is the window of which they make those type of changes. And I'm with you. I want to see an experienced manager come in. I don't want a first-timer, whether it's an A.J. Pierzynski, who would truly be a first-timer, because the man hasn't managed anything in the single-A, double-A, triple-A, and he's a big name. He's got a big job in the broadcast booth. So is he going to go, as we talked about at White Sox Weekly, is he going to go down to the minors to learn the craft? I don't think so.
Absolutely not.
Yeah, you know, is Chris Getz going to get a look? He's done a great job down in the minors. Would he get a look for Rick Hahn's job? I know he was mentioned as a manager. That doesn't make a lot of sense to me.
Only the fact that he's watched these guys, quote unquote, develop as they've made their way up then through the system. And if you're right. not willing to check out on all the young talent, certainly not, you know, the Kopechs, Aloy, who came over from the Cubs, obviously, but Luis Robert. And, I mean, all the guys you were waiting on for this so-called World Series contending window, which is not even open this year, Chris Getz would know, it would have a firsthand evaluation of everybody that came up through the system and maybe what has gone wrong once they got to the major league club. And
that's a good point.
Yeah, but look, this is an opportunity to cast a wide net. And for those people who don't think the manager means anything, I would disagree. How much he means, I think he sets a tone and a culture and accountability and everything that we didn't see with the Chicago White Sox this year.
And they have to get it right this time. They Absolutely. Have to get it right. And whether it's Joe Madden, which I don't think is a great choice, but Mike Schilt has been mentioned. He brought the Cardinals to a few playoffs. Joe Girardi, not sure that's a fit, but boy, Bruce Bochy, that looks really, really good. That man has a serious resume.
Yep, and a serious demeanor. I mean, he's just, you know, that I want a guy who's been there and done that and done it with success. I don't know if that's too much to ask, but I don't want to watch someone learn on the job. I don't want to see, you know.
I think we're past that. As fans, we're past that. Now again, that they could go the similar route and do that with somebody connected to the White Sox or give somebody their first shot. But I think that would be a terrible mistake. We're past that now. And this window, if we can get this window open, how long we can hold it open for them to be able to have some sustained success in the playoffs. And can you imagine a World Series? We have to get this right. There's no second chance here. This is a second chance that we didn't think we needed, but we need now due to the health of Tony La Russa, and now we have to get this right. 312-332-3776. If you missed it, Bob Nightingale, MLB insider, did report that Tony La Russa is expected to officially retire tomorrow at a press conference. What that means for his future with the White Sox, will it be a consultant role that is very, not a day-to-day type thing? Because he does have health issues, and I would imagine a day-to-day role would not work for him based on what we know already. But will he be somehow connected with the White Sox in the future? Brian, I think you have it right.
Yeah, it will be a graceful exit.
Consider all the possibilities.
Yeah, it will be a graceful exit. And look, he was a consultant before he became a manager 2.0 with the Chicago White Sox. He was, again, it's not the type of thing you have to live in Chicago. You can just, you don't have to worry about what the lineup looks like every day. But if they're considering a free agent signing, they're considering a big trade, they're considering how to implement a new offensive approach at spring training. You can run that stuff by a guy who's a Hall of Famer and take his input and add it into the input of whomever else is part of the decision-making process. And I'm with you. Likely it's going to be Rick Hahn and Kenny Williams. But I think a lot of Sox fans would like to see different people making new decisions when it comes to the Southside team.
Yes, fresh eyes, like the Bulls have. And you bring up a great point. Michael Reinsdorf kind of set the Bulls into the next phase, and we've seen some positive movement as far as the Bulls getting better, the right coach Look, it's not a done deal. They're not a championship team just yet, but they seem to be moving in the right direction, and it's fresh eyes, fresh people in the front office. We'll see what happens with the White Sox. We'll come back and take your calls, 312-332-3776. You know, before we hit break, let's take Mike real quick and Byron,
sure,
who wants to talk about the White Sox. Let's do that here. Hey, Mike, you're on ESPN 1000 with Xander and Hammond. Yeah.
And I'd really like to see Sandy Alomar Jr., the bench coach for Cleveland.
There
he
you go.
He has ties to the White Sox.
Yep.
And I think he did a fantastic job when Francona was out. He's going to get a head coach position somewhere.
I'm surprised he hasn't already. And the fact is he's not mentioned in all of this is really curious. Maybe he's really locked in at Cleveland, but I agree with you. I would love to see him.
Well, let's play that out.
The experience he's got as a catcher and everything, I just think, and plus he's bilingual. He's really
great. And you know what? Yeah. A great personality. I was around him quite a bit. He's a great personality. He could handle a clubhouse. I don't know if, say, Cleveland goes ahead and wins the World Series this year and surprises everyone, they're certainly going to be a force to deal with within the division next year. I don't know if he's waiting to see what Terry Francona's future looks like in terms of retirement and staying there, but he was a name that was kicked around here for a good reason a while back, and I was all for it because I think he would be that. That's a great name to add to the list.
Yeah, thanks for the call, Mike. That would be great on a couple of fronts. He's the right guy for the job, it seems like, and we would be taking him out of Cleveland. But you're right, Terry Francona had some health issues for a while. And he's the one that took over, so he might be the man in waiting for when Terry wraps it up, and that could be at any time. We don't know. 312-332-3776. Let's hit a break, come back. We'll take your phone calls. We'll start talking Bears, get you ready for that game against the Giants here on ESPN 1000.
Follow Chicago's home for sports on Twitter at ESPN 1000.
This is Xander and Hanley on Chicago's home for sports, ESPN.
All right, back at it. It's Xander and Hanley on a Sunday morning getting you ready for the Bears game. Bears will see the Giants in stadiums in Jersey, right?
Correct.
Is that the
MetLife?
That's right. Okay.
Jets and
they're
Giants
both 2-1.
Jets and Giants don't play in New York. They play in New Jersey,
crazy.
The Bears are going to play in Arlington Heights.
Right. Isn't it going to be the Arlington Heights Bears? How could they use Chicago?
Yeah, Mayor Daley is threatening to take Chicago out of their name. Yeah, okay.
Right.
Oh, he's
312-332. No. He hasn't been for a while. 312-332-3776. So Justin Fields last week, two interceptions. Now, he finally found Cole Kmet, which was nice. But two interceptions. Are we seeing any progress from him? If we are, it is baby steps and it's forward and back. What did your guy Bruce say? One step up, two steps back?
Correct. One of our Twitter polls today was Bears centric before we got the Tony La Russa news. But I did this last week as well because it's astounding. FanDuel set last week Justin Fields over under for passing yards at 171 yards. Now, Teddy Greenstein came on with Jeff and Dion during the pregame show, as he does each week for Points Bet, and said, They boosted Justin Fields up to, if he throws over 200 yards, you would get better odds. And as Teddy pointed out during the show last week, he said most quarterbacks, the Red Rifle, Andy Dalton, is going to throw for more than 200 yards today with New Orleans, right? That's just a given. You roll out of bed as an NFL quarterback, you're over 200 yards. Think about that.
Not everyone.
No. Well, it gets worse. So today, FanDuel set, wait for it, Justin Fields over under for passing yards, 148.5. I can't remember seeing that low of a passing total for anybody in forever. So is it a Luke Getsy problem? And he keeps saying, oh, no, we have all the faith in the world in Justin. Is it a Justin Fields problem? Because we saw him overshoot and not be decisive yet again last week. Mm-hmm. Is it a talent around the quarterback problem? Is it all the above? But which way are you betting? Over, it almost looks too good to be true. You're like, okay, I'll bet the over 148.5, right? Because, of course, he's going to get more than that. Not when Khalil Herbert is going to, you know, ran for 150 plus last year.
Yeah, but he looked great. Montgomery had an ankle issue, right? So he came out of the game and Herbert looked really, really good. We've got some question marks for this game. But no, you're right. You know, my initial thought looking at what he's done at, versus the 49ers, he had 121 yards, only 70 against the Packers and 106 against the Texans. It would be easy to say, okay, let's bet the under. But as you said, that's a low bar.
When before the Bob Nightingale report came out that Tony's retiring and there'll be a press conference in Chicago to announce
that
tomorrow. The only White Sox reference I thought we were going to have in the show was that Justin Fields has thrown fewer passes through 3 weeks since Bobby Douglas in 1972. Now, Bobby Douglas played for the White Sox at one point because, you know, I'm sure you remember, Mark, that guy, his passes came in at like 110 miles an hour. He broke ribs when, you know, threw him in the guys right, between the numbers.
Right.
You know, the southpaw was not exactly what you would call, you know, he didn't have a lot of touch. He just winged it, right? But think about that, because last week, through the first 2 weeks of the NFL season, Justin Fields had fewer pass attempts than anybody in the NFL since 1978. So now we're down to 1972 with Bobby Douglas when he was 15 for 43 for 214 yards through three games. But he did rush for 247 yards because he was a better runner than he was a thrower. It's just, this isn't the way it was supposed to start out this season under the new regime. And yet they're trying to win games, apparently. And, you know, I was wondering last week, I asked the question, are we still okay with the Bears losing games as long as Justin Fields is developing? And now it seems like, well, we don't care so much if he's developing as long as they're winning games. I'm kind of lost what the big picture looks like here.
You know, I had last week off. I was busy down eating barbecue in Memphis and catching a lot
man.
Of life.
Well, that's a tough assignment. How did you just sign up for that?
I love that town. I love that town so much. Oh. I have such a love affair with that city. But, you know, that's a great point. Having had the week off, I've just been able to clear my head. And you're right. The fact is that we are 2-1 right now. That's all fine and great, but we haven't seen that development that we're hoping to see from Justin Fields. Now, it may be baby steps, as we said, and that's probably the best we can hope for, but it's not moving forward right now, Brian.
Well, look, they have the second best run game in the league right now, at least by the numbers. The run blocking has been really, really good. Yep. I would argue for a lot of the snaps, the pass blocking has been more than serviceable. When he has more than 3 seconds to throw, it's a problem of not him.
You're right.
The ball.
And we thought coming into this season, that would be really, really a sticking point. And I think that we've been pleasantly surprised.
He's
had the time.
He has to make decisions. I mean, you know, he's holding the ball for more than 3 seconds. You got to get that ball out. And the problem is, if you're watching these games, there are guys who get the ball out too quickly. But there seems to be some indecisiveness there. Like he knows what he's looking at, but he's looking for something better or different. And you don't have that luxury. And then that's when Luke Getsy says, guess what? We're picking up 6, 7, 8 yards a run. Let's keep doing that. But again, I don't know how that helps this franchise in the big picture if you're just going to hand the ball off and you know, I know it's early. Okay, I get that. But you have 17 games to figure out if Justin Fields is at least on the right path to being your guy. I'm not sure you're going to have the verdict at the end of 17 games. But right now, he's not giving you enough substantially, at least passing the eye test, to say that he is going to be a guy.
Right. And this is kind of like what happened last year. And for a different reason, we couldn't trust the play calling. And there was all kinds of stuff at the top of the food chain on the Bears. Now it's time to see what he can do. Now, it would be interesting. We'll take your calls at 312-332-3776. Would you be okay with him throwing more, maybe not to the success, but knowing that that's what he needs to do, trust his instincts, and would you be okay with that if that meant developing, or you just want a clean game and you want wins? 312-332-3776. When we get back, we're also going to talk to our buddy, Bear Fan Bob. You know, he has a very thoughtful presentation on the setup for the Bears versus Giants today, noon kick. We will take Bob, and we will take you at 312-332-3776. Back in a moment here on ESPN 1000.
Follow Chicago's Home for Sports on Instagram at ESPN_Chicago.
This is Xander and Hanley on Chicago's Home for Sports, ESPN Chicago.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's just growth. You know, it really comes down to taking one performance at a time and just growing. You know, whatever that is, you know, it's about having growth. You know, last week I thought he had some good explosive passes, you know, in there. So we took the positive from there, and we're growing from that point.
There's Coach Matt Eberflus on what he needs to see from Justin Fields. Apparently they're seeing some growth. Ryan, are we seeing the same thing?
I mean, what was his
passer
rating?
The process.
What was his passer rating last week? 27 and change?
27.7.
That's not growth. Because
no.
The week previous
Right. It was 85.7.
That's what you call substantial decrease in your rating.
You're right. That's growth in the wrong direction. 312-332-3776. Before we get to Bear Fan Bob, we want to throw that question out to you. Are you okay with Justin taking more chances? He seems like, you know, the old metaphor would be, he seems like he's squeezing the stick, right, in hockey.
Mm-hmm.
When you have a goal-scoring drought, you start just tightening up on that stick, and you're not playing relaxed, you're not playing loose. Same thing with a pitcher. When you're trying to hit your spots and you're really tightening up, things don't really go. You have to relax and trust yourself.
Dallas Keuchel said it's like trying to paint a dot on the ass of an ant or a gnat or something.
Right.
You're trying to be
right.
So perfect, and you couldn't, you know, it didn't work out for Dallas either.
No, it didn't. And there's something to be said about that for any athlete that, you know, they really tighten up and they really, really try. You know, they're losing all of what brought them to that point. And so would you be okay with Justin taking a few more chances and trying to relax, and it's not always going to work out, and to see him progress? Or, you know, is this Luke Getsy saying, look, you had a chance, kid, and we're going to have to just run it? 312-332-3776. Bear Fan Bob jumping in from Twin Lakes, Wisconsin. Hey, Bear Fan Bob, how are you doing, buddy?
Robert
Ford.
Hey, Bob.
Oh, wait, wrong sport. Because today we're going to have like 5 field goals and 1 touchdown. They're going to have like 3 field goals and 1 touchdown. But here's the good news. They got a Jones and they got a Barkley. We got a Smith, we got a Quinn, and we got a Herbert. So we got them by 1. There you have it. Now, back to the Justin Douglas question. Here's the problem. You don't have Brian Bashnagel to jump up out of the air, catch the pass, and get his ribs broken. In the 70s. Never mind. That got it about right, Brian?
Yeah, that's exactly right.
Oh, I remember that too.
Yeah.
Somebody can actually catch the football because, you know, I was at the last game and I most certainly didn't see it. And if you're going to wow me because Cole Kmet caught 2 passes, you'd be very mistaken.
It's
I wasn't happy with that at all.
Well, it was a start to at least see him out there not dropping one. I mean,
right. Okay.
This is make or break year for
baby
Cole
steps.
Kmet, too.
That's very true, and because Getsy comes out of the Green Bay system, and I got to word this correctly, I actually trust him because that's what Green Bay does up there. They teach receivers, and they teach quarterbacks, and they make receivers and quarterbacks. And what I think they're trying to do with Justin Douglas here is they're bringing him along to try not to break his confidence by throwing a ball and throwing a lot of interceptions.
Okay.
So if he's not seeing the field, they're not doing it right, they're going to, you know, yank the chains back on him, pull the choker chain in and say, nope, you're not doing this. We're not going to lose this game. We're not going to be embarrassed in front of the fans. We're doing it. We're going to run the football, and that's going to be the end of it. And we're going to try again another day. And I think that's probably the correct approach, because in this town, how many quarterbacks have we seen get their confidence broke and been done? You know, Trubisky's one of them, and oh God, the list goes on and on. So this is kind of a new system, and you know, maybe this will work, and maybe it won't. And here's another thought: if this kid ain't going to be any good, trade him. Somebody will pay us a lot for him. Just a thought.
Yeah,
so guys, the Bears should win today. Actually, I think they will, and that's all I got for you. And have a good day, huh?
Thanks,
Robert. Appreciate it, Bob. Yeah, you know what? He brings up a good point. Yeah. Okay. Trade him. So, when is the assessment done on him?
Oh, and, well,
and what do they need to see? It's certainly not now. And for anybody who wants to pull the parachute now, I get it. You're frustrated for all the reasons that Bob had mentioned and we've talked about before. Many, many quarterbacks over the years, not a lot. You know, we've broken confidence on a lot of them. And Bob's got a point there. You know, maybe they are kind of yanking back the leash and saying, okay, that didn't work. Let's try it again another time. In the meantime, we're running the ball. And they're bringing him along slowly, which is so different than we've seen in past years. Brian, and that's why it's on to us, perhaps.
Well, and look, and I have no issues bringing him along slowly, but this is historically, this pace is historically slow in terms of the fewest pass attempts since 1972. You have to give him some room, and Justin Fields has to give you some confidence by making some of those obvious completions, right?
Right.
He's got to give you something to say, okay, he had success doing this last week. We can give him more of the playbook next week. But the fact of the matter is, the only thing you would have going for you to trade him right now is he's on a rookie contract.
Right.
No one's trading for Justin Fields thinking that they can do better with him right now, because I think, you know, people would certainly have had questions about Matt Nagy and his staff developing a guy. But I think they're going to wait and see what Luke Getsy and Matt Eberflus get out of him.
It's going to take time. It is definitely going to take time.
Obviously, they didn't draft him. He's not their guy. They will be quick to move on from Justin Fields after this season if in week 15, 16, 17, you're still looking at passer ratings in the 70s or the 80s. They ain't going to get it done.
Right. He has time, but he doesn't have a lot of time.
Correct.
312-332-3776. Mike in Orland Park wants to jump on with us here on ESPN 1000. Hey, Mike.
Hey, guys. Pleasure. I just want to know if you guys know another franchise who's been worse at drafting a quarterback. I mean, just any franchise, it's been worse. I mean, the best quarterback ever drafted by the Bears would be what, Jim McMahon?
Yeah,
because the rest of these guys were brought in. Jay Cutler was brought in from Denver, and I mean, right. You know, and what was it? Eric Heupel was brought in from Detroit or whatever.
Eric Kramer, yeah,
Kramer.
I'm sorry, Eric Kramer.
Yeah, right.
Right. So if you know your weakness is that, because I know these guys don't want to admit it, but they're horrible at drafting, and I'm not talking about this regime because you got to give them a chance. They didn't draft this guy, but. I don't know what to do with him. I mean, you know, it's just very frustrating. They hype this guy up, and Ryan Pace has given away all our draft picks, and it's just frustrating to watch this.
Sure,
I mean, all Chicago sports are just bad, except, you know, I mean, and the Bulls' radar is going down, too. You know, I mean,
got to get Lonzo Ball healthy if that's even possible. I mean, help.
Right. You guys have a great day. I appreciate it, man. You guys are awesome.
Thanks, Mike. We appreciate it. Look, yes, a Chicago sports fan frustrated. Many of us.
What did Ted Bill say? Did we get the quarterback exactly right? Did we win enough games?
No. And the thing is, he's right. And it's been the only consistency over all these years with this mishandling of the quarterback is the ownership. They've had other people in, assessing talent and drafting, and it's just been a comedy of errors, and it's not a funny comedy. It's a sad comedy.
What's the total? It's about 40 quarterbacks.
Fred and I a couple years ago looked at a list in depth, and it was the ratio was almost 5 or 6 to 1.
Yeah, since Brett Favre, who when he isn't, you know, apparently
we went back to Bart Starr actually.
Yeah,
that was fun.
But between Favre and Aaron Rodgers in Green Bay, which has been a seamless, obviously, transition for them.
Yeah, it's been a ratio of 4 to 1 for sure.
Yeah, it's approaching 40. A few years ago it was low 30s, and that's not getting the quarterback right. I can safely say.
Yep, 312-332-3776. Justin Fields, his quarterback rating last week, 27.7. That's down from 85.7 first game, 43.8 with the Packers. So is this a function of him just getting more chances and not succeeding? Or, you know, what are we looking at here? We're certainly not looking at the progress we thought we would see. But thankfully, we have a running game. We do have a 2-1 record. We're taking on the Giants, a noon kick. And it will be interesting to see how much leash Justin Fields has this week.
Our other Twitter poll question was the same last week. I just want to gauge Bears Nation. The Bears are 3-point underdogs today. What happens? They win outright. They lose, but they cover. They are within 3 points, or they don't cover at all and they just lose by more than three. And I'm just trying to figure out, you know, wins are wins. And someone called last week, and I know when people going to Soldier Field last week, they're going to spend 4, 5, 6 hours of their time tailgating everything. They want to walk out of there feeling good with a win. But to me, sometimes those, you know, a win against the Texans kind of like empty calories. You eat a big bowl of ice cream and it tastes great while you're doing it, but it really doesn't do anything for you long term. Is it just
hey, ice cream does something for me long term? I love it.
I know,
it
but
boosts
I mean,
my
but,
mood. But I get but, what you're saying.
Yeah, I mean, that doesn't, you know, put you a great step closer to winning a Super
no
Bowl.
No protein. No protein, Brian.
Yeah, so I mean, is it just win, baby, and hopefully you're 3-1 today, and then what? You start having aspirations to win the division? I mean, okay. I thought this was all about developing Justin Fields, and I know that's not fair to the rest of the guys in that locker room, Mark, that it become, but you have to have the quarterback.
But you have to do that. And every team has done, every team that has drafted a quarterback that turned out to be something had to develop them. So everybody has had to go along with the program.
Troy Aikman, how many interceptions did he throw as a rookie? And you know, this is Justin Fields is still basically a rookie because of the way he was handled last year. Brett Favre, how many interceptions did he have as a rookie? If you don't get this right, and he's not the guy, you have to figure that out. And beating the Texans or even the Giants today, I mean, God bless if they end up
3-1. It's empty calories. You're right. It's empty calories if we don't see Justin improving. All right, we've got Jesse Rogers is going to jump in here before we get out of here at 10 to add some context to the Tony La Russa news. We're going to get to him after this break here on ESPN 1000.
Welcome back to Xander and Hanley on ESPN Chicago.
Chicago's home for sports.
Do da dippity.
You can get with this or you can get with that.
All right, right out of the gate today on ESPN 1000, we have breaking news about Tony La Russa. Bob Nightingale reporting that he is going to retire as manager of the Chicago White Sox with a press conference tomorrow. We've got our buddy Jesse Rogers jumping on with us to talk about this before we get out of here at 10. Hey, Jess, were you surprised to see this today?
I'm just a little bit. I mean, not so much the idea of Tony retiring. I think that's the way things have been trending. But, you know, for what it's worth, and I kind of was reticent to jump on because it could just probably be splitting hairs. There's no confirmation at the highest levels of the team regarding this, including Tony La Russa. No one has confirmed that this is happening. But I should say no one has confirmed this is happening as soon as tomorrow. So, again, we might be splitting hairs on timing. But I think for a while now, kind of, we're trending towards being very surprised if he does come back. And that's probably the most newsworthy part about this. But again, no confirmation just yet. So Sox fans that want to celebrate, I guess you got to hold off until the team or someone at the highest levels of the team confirm it. But Bob has always been good with the White Sox. He broke the news that La Russa was being hired in the first place. So I don't doubt the reporting. So we might be splitting hairs on the timing of it. So that's all. Yeah. A little surprised it may have leaked today. But no one is come close to confirming this is happening as soon as tomorrow. But tomorrow morning, we may wake up and say there's a press conference over at Guaranteed Rate Field and things will change.
Now, Jesse, is the timing of his announcement being, if it does happen tomorrow, with the Sox still having 3 games left to play, does that play into it? Is it odd? Should this be happening out of season once the Sox are wrapped up? That's the first thing that jumped out at me.
No, not really. I mean, every team does things differently. We've seen firings this September. We've seen people say so-and-so is not coming back. It can happen the day after the season. It can happen in the waning days. Teams like to sort of get a jump head start on the off season, so the sooner the better, so to speak. If you're going to do a managerial search and you want to be open for business, well, letting everybody know as soon as possible is probably a good idea. So I wouldn't read anything in the final 3 days. It's a homestand. It's a place where the media will be anyway. you know, come Thursday, you'd have to bring everybody back. Maybe they don't want to do that. Okay. Yeah, there's a lot.
Logistical concerns, yeah. Sure.
You know what I mean? It could be a myriad of small little reasons why they may announce it tomorrow. Give them a proper send-off, so to speak. Because, again, once the season ends, it's just your mind is elsewhere. You're on to other things, media-wise, public-wise. So it could be a myriad of things. Maybe Tony wants to get the heck out of town. But nothing confirmed just yet. So we'll see how this plays out over the next day or two. But whether it's Monday or soon after that, I think this has sort of been in the works for a while.
Jess.
They have the excuse of the health first and foremost.
Just in terms of a longer timeline, the organizational meetings, usually a couple weeks after the season ends, do you hope to have, I mean, can you get a manager in place short of Miguel Cairo being elevated and giving him the title permanently or, you know, elevating him to your manager? Do you have to have a manager for your organizational meetings is what I'm saying? Because normally that comes a couple weeks after the season. It's not that far off.
No, you don't. It's happened many times where you fire a team and fire a manager, and then you have your meetings, and then you do your search at the same time, and you hire someone whenever you hire someone. We could go through the dates. I mean, sometimes they're hired within a week or two, sometimes, you know, maybe even up to a month. You can look at the past. In this case, I'm not sure there'd be an immediate timeline other than ASAP, because it's always good to have the new guy in place. I think this will probably be a bigger search than we've seen before, at least on the surface. There's always names executives have in mind, but you want to interview a lot. Sometimes you interview people from other organizations just to get the feel of how those other organizations handle things. I mean, I think the Cubs interviewed Joe Espada back in the day to learn about, he's the bench coach of the Astros, to learn about the Astros as much as they wanted to hire Espada, because David Ross was the runaway leading candidate. But they brought Espada in to learn how the Astros work. Now, we've got a month of playoffs, too, Brian. So if you want to hire someone from another team, that plays a part. Not that you can't interview them and hire them. But, look, the playoffs start 2 days after the season ends. So, yes, I think that you want to do it as soon as you can. But you're not tied to any timeline.
So there are a lot of names being thrown around, from the very experienced in Bruce Bochy to A.J. Pierzynski, who has no managerial experience. Is there any name that jumps out to you that's been thrown around that gains your attention for one reason or another?
Yes, I will throw this out there for the first time. And I'm not saying the Sox are, he's number one on the Sox list or anything like that, but a name that could work and fit, and I've heard, is Davey Martinez, manager of the Washington Nationals, won a World Series on a rebuilding team now, with new ownership coming in, Latin American flavor, which I think you do need for this team. Mm-hmm. You don't have to have, but it wouldn't hurt. You don't have to have, but wouldn't hurt. And by the way, not every Latin American player is made the same. Dominican players are a little different than Cuban players. They're a little different than Puerto Rican players, that kind of thing. Davey is a Puerto Rican descent. I think it's important to connect with the Cuban players on the White Sox team, not that you have to have a Cuban manager, but all of that is baked into the process here. That's a name that I don't think you guys have probably heard, but I'm out there right now. Davey Martinez, that would be one. I think Joe Espada, if he's not in line to get Dusty Baker's gig, if Dusty's going to move on within a year or two, Joe Espada's name is still going to be out there. I think experience probably would help. I don't think there's any doubt about it. Doesn't have to be. Here's another one, Sandy Alomar Jr.
Yeah, we had a caller bring that up right out of the box.
And I'm glad you brought that up. Yeah. That would seem attractive, given his history here.
And given his history here, and given where you work now is important.
Yes,
Cleveland organization does things the right way. Like the Tampa Bay Rays do things the right way on a minuscule budget. And Sandy Alomar has been front and center watching that whole thing. So. And the Nats are an interesting, they don't do things exactly the same way, but they won a world championship. And maybe they actually don't, like, I don't think Mike Rizzo manages from the executive suite. I think Davey Martinez had a lot of autonomy. I'm guessing the next White Sox manager probably will have less autonomy than Tony La Russa has.
And where did Mike Rizzo come from? The Chicago White Sox. So if they take his word and his recommendation or, you know, his... If
Great
he
point.
Tells you Dave Martinez is the guy, you take that with a little more weight, right?
as much as some Cub fans like to criticize Joe Maddon, if you've won a World Series, you've done something right. And forget about just winning it. If you are in the mix every year with different teams like Maddon was, Rays, and Cubs, you know what you're doing, right? There's Terry Bevington litmus test. Do you know what you're doing or not? And Davey Martinez has proven to me, I didn't know for sure he had the demeanor to move from bench coach to manager. He's proven to me he could do it. I would have no problem if they hired Davey Martinez. I do think he does know how to connect with the different kind of Latin players that the White Sox have and every team has. So, I mean, I'm not saying he's the number one choice, but I think he'd be a guy that should be and could be in the mix.
And I think any White Sox fan would say, please give us somebody with some sort of experience, even a Davey Martinez, as opposed to A.J. Pierzynski, who's been batted around. That makes absolutely no sense, short for the fact that he's a hero from the 2005 team.
I think that the White Sox, this is just my feeling, probably just don't want to go down that rabbit hole of potential controversy. And, you know, it's just going, it's like, the same reason they wouldn't rehire Ozzie is probably the reason they won't hire AJ. It's just
right.
Potential for,
that's fine
for strife and inner controversy where David Martinez, like you just, you know, they almost need to go outside the organization completely and just bring in a newcomer to have eyes on this for the first time.
I'm all for
baseball.
That.
Baseball. Yeah. So I don't know. I mean, I'm not saying AJ wouldn't work. Just feel like I don't know if they're ready to go back to that well. They just did that with Tony. It didn't work. They don't want to do it with Ozzy. I love AJ. He probably would do well in a vacuum, but I'm not sure in this particular moment. I do think you have to, you know, get a little bit more out of your roster here.
Guys would run like hell to first base if AJ was a man running the
absolutely.
Show.
Absolutely, yeah. Well,
yeah,
Jess,
I mean,
we got to jump.
I'm not saying there's negatives. I'm not saying there aren't positives. I just don't know about going down that rabbit hole.
I'm with you.
Me too. Jesse, thanks for jumping on with us. We appreciate it. We got to get moving, but Tony La Russa may retire tomorrow. We'll see what happens. Ultimately, probably will happen. The timing is of the question. Thanks, Jess, for joining us here on ESPN 1000. Our old buddy Jesse Rogers, of course, our baseball guy. Brian, we've got to wrap things up. The Points Bet pregame show is coming up. We are going to duck out. And on the other side, that's what you get here on ESPN 1000. Have yourself a great day. The Bears coming up, you know, they've got a noon kick, and they're gonna kind of set you up for that next here on ESPN 1000.